You are listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind.
Welcome, everybody, to GTT New Westminster on June the 26th, 29th. So today, what do we want to do? We're doing keyboard commands, right? Our favorite keyboard commands? What's that?
Our favorite
keyboard commands. And this is when you want to talk about the PC, right? The computer, screen readers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
good, because none of us know Mac.
Yeah. John over there knows the Mac. Yeah. So anyway, so for screen reader users on the PC, I think we just have a few sort of general, Ryan shared a few of his sort of favorite key commands. I've got a few of mine, and then we'll just talk about other ones. I haven't listed any here that are web browsing specific. These are all just sort of in the computer. So we'll just sort of rattle through the list and see what we've got. Insert W. Ryan, what does insert W give us?
Well, let me show you. So if I press insert W, I'm using JAWS for Windows, of course.
Following are useful Windows keyboard commands. Command: colon.
Here is a following list of helpful Windows commands. And it brings it up in the virtual viewer. So right now, I can just hit my down arrow key and go through the list.
To access an application menu bar, press Alt.
To access the application menu bar, press the Alt key.
To open the start menu, press Control plus Escape or the Windows key. For Windows help, press F1. To exit an application, press Alt plus F4. To cycle between the taskbar, start button, and desktop. Press Control plus Escape, and then press Tab to cycle between the three.
So just a really quick way to bring up a list of helpful Windows application keyboard commands. Because not everybody, like me, has a bad memory. So, you know, using insert W is really helpful at times.
You can remember insert W.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, that makes sense. It's JAWS command with Windows.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
And what's really important to know here is all of these Windows key commands are Windows, so it doesn't matter which screen reader you're using.
Right.
These keys will work.
Yeah. In fact, sighted people can be encouraged to learn how to do that because they'll work on their computers.
Yep.
And so that's the really big difference, you guys. Whenever you're using the Windows key plus something else, that's a Windows keyboard command. That's not a JAWS or an NVDA. All right, so that's insert W. Now, insert W, though, is a JAWS command, so if you're using NVDA, that won't get you nothing,
right?
Or it'll get you something else.
Yeah.
So it's very, whenever you use that insert key, that's when you are now using a screen reader specific command. Is that fair to say all the way across?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one that Ryan wanted to share, insert H.
Another quick one, insert H.
Here are some JAWS hotkeys for general use.
Here's some JAWS hotkeys for general use.
Description hotkey. Link screen sensitive help insert plus F1. Link Windows tips on navigation insert plus W. Link read window title insert plus T. Link search for JAWS commands insert plus space J. Link locker unlock the keyboard insert plus space L. Link term screen J on or off JAWS key plus space F11. Link learn commands in the keyboard layers JAWS key plus space shift plus slash. Click activate the JAWS window control plus shift plus caps.
So instead of having to press insert F1 twice quickly and dig through the JAWS help and look for commands or bring up the manager in JAWS, the settings manager or keyboard manager to look for a keyboard command, you can just hit insert H and look for some frequently used JAWS hotkeys. Again, because it's in the virtual viewer, you could actually select all this, copy it into an email or a document, paste it, send it, you know, refer to it any time, or just press insert H again.
Yeah. Perfect. Got any questions on that? Insert H, JAWS commands?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, just JAWS hotkeys. Yeah.
I think that you're saying JAWS hotkeys. That's a nice way of saying it.
Windows X.
Anybody here use Windows X?
Is that to maximize?
Yes.
No.
No, I don't. Okay, hold a second. Yes, it goes into some of the start main. It goes into where you can turn off your computer, too.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So I call it like a mini start menu. Yes. So I'm going to hit Windows key X.
Windows X, context menu, apps and features.
So it brings up a context menu, and the first item is apps and features. So instead of going to control panel and looking for programs and features or apps and features, it's right here.
Mobility Center.
Mobility Center, I never use.
Power options.
Your power options.
Event viewer.
event viewer.
System.
Your system settings.
Device manager.
Device manager.
Network connections.
Your network connections.
Disk management.
Disk management.
Computer management.
So disk management, like if you wanted to do a disk cleanup or a disk defrag, right, that kind of stuff, that's disk management.
Yeah.
Windows PowerShell.
PowerShell.
Windows PowerShell admin. Task manager.
The one I mainly use
settings
is
File Explorer. Search.
See, like settings. Some of these options like settings, File Explorer. There's Windows shortcut keys that we'll cover later, but you can get to them from here as well.
Search.
Search, you can do that from your start menu.
Run.
Run, again, there's a Windows shortcut key, Windows R for that.
Shut down or sign out sub menu.
Shut down and sign out, right?
Now, I'll tell you what, that's good. When nothing else works to shut down your computer, that is an option to come to.
Yeah, you can definitely try the Windows key X and go down to there. And if you still can't get any speech from your computer or you can't bring up that menu, hit the power button. Right.
Yeah.
But that Windows X is handy.
And the short way to get the shutdown on this thing is do Windows X and then up arrow to it.
Right.
Because these windows loop around, so instead of arrowing nine times downward, you can just up arrow once.
It's the last one, so if you do up arrow, you get to it. So once in a while, my jaws won't talk and I can't get it to work, I'll take and use the command up arrow once.
And up arrow twice.
Up arrow twice? Is it two? Okay.
Yeah.
So again, it's another handy little menu that you know, some people may not know about, where that has you know access to different parts of your computer that you may want to get to quickly.
If you're on your desktop, all that part will get you
to the shutdown and restart.
Yeah, but sometimes it locks your computer. That one sometimes you can't use.
No, that's the one I use. That's the only way I shut down my computer. Go to the desktop and do all that.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Windows D and then Alt F4. Yeah, I either hit R for restart or, you know, I'm already sitting on the shutdown button to update it. Windows I. What does Windows I do?
Anybody know what Windows I does?
Settings.
It is. It's Windows settings. So if we do Windows I.
Windows I. Settings.
It should be.
That's right. So we're here. I did Windows I. And
list box, system, 1 to 14.
We
display,
have
sound, notification, power.
System, display, sound, power, notification, by down arrow.
Personalization, 5 to 14.
Personalization settings.
Box, speed, colors.
And it tells you you can change your background, your colors, by down arrow again.
Payment, 9 to 14. Game bar, captures, broadcast in game mode. Privacy, 13 to 14. Location, camera, microphone. Update and security, 14 to 14. Windows update, recovery, backup.
Update and security. So some of these, of course, you can access through your control panel. Or you can just do Windows key I and quickly jump to the item you want. Like if I wanted update and security, I could do Windows key I, U for update, and it would take me there.
Ease of access.
And I'm just using my up and down, left and right arrow keys to navigate through each of these items.
Apps, 6 or 14.
So again, it's like another menu that opens up that has access to frequently used items.
So Windows R is the next one. And yeah, let's have a quick demo of Windows R.
Alrighty, so.
Windows R, run dialog, type the name of the program, folder, document, or internet resource, and Windows will open it for you. Open, edit combo, JAWS 2019, Windows 26.
Here's the piece I want to show you with Windows R. Whenever somebody asks you, what version of Windows are you running?
Yes.
If you come here and just type in, so Windows R, and then type in WinVer, so WINVER, and press enter, and listen to it. His machine set.
Enter. About Windows dialog. Microsoft Windows version 1903 OS build 18,362.175 copyright 2019 Microsoft Corporation. All rights reserved. The Windows 10 Pro operating system with its user interface are protected by trademark and other pending or existing intellectual property rights in the United
States. Blah, blah, blah. Windows 10, 1903.
No, you'd have to go into the settings for that. But, if you're thinking about using Narrator, it's really important that you're running at the very least version 18.09, and with the May updates from this year, it's 19.03, which is what Ryan does. So anytime you want to know what version your computer is, come to the Run dialog box, type in WinVer, W-I-N-V-E-R for version, and press enter. And I noticed that when we got here in Ryan's computer, he had JAWS 2019 written there. That's how he can launch JAWS. So if your hotkey or your shortcut key isn't working, so what is it you type exactly?
So I'm just going to ditch JAWS here.
JAWS not enter. Start DTT.
So JAWS is gone. I'm going to do Windows key R. And of course, there's no speech, but I could have Narrator running if I wanted to. I'm going to type in JAWS 2019 and hit enter.
That's easy.
Is that right?
The JAWS space 2019.
Nope, just all one word. JAWS 2019.
JAWS professional star GTT.
Wow. There it is.
Okay. Now I didn't know that one.
I can't find my.
Now you can also, like I said, you can
close that.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay, and so, you know, again, if I do Windows, Windows key R, I do NVDA, same thing. NVDA starts up. So you can do that with any application on your computer.
And if you have more than one version of JAWS, you can just go into one.
What about Narrator? Can you do that?
Well, Narrator, you don't have to.
Yeah, Narrator has its own keyboard command.
Okay, is that okay with the run dialog?
Yeah.
So you can start up any program, find out your version number.
We can share all these notes with you guys as well.
Yeah. Insert spacebar and then the letter H. So that's a layered keystroke in JAWS.
Right. Now, has anybody used layered keyboard commands in JAWS?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So have you used the speech history?
I've used it once.
Sometimes I find that maybe I didn't catch everything JAWS was saying because you get a lot of verbal diarrhea and you just want to go back and review it. So if I do insert spacebar, it puts me into the JAWS layered command. You hear that little click sound. And then I can do H for speech history.
Speech history. Edit.
And now I can review the last bunch of text that JAWS read to
JAWS
me.
Professional. JAWS professional. JAWS star GTT frequently used keyboard command list.
So it looks like I do insert space, H.
Star GTT frequently used keyboard command list.txt notepad, notepad. Star GTT, star GTT, star GTT.
So the last thing JAWS read was GTT frequently used keyboard commands. I can up arrow.
JAWS professional.
JAWS
professional. JAWS professional.
So there's only two items there.
Star G, JAWS professional, star G.
So you can actually review
things.
Because
you know why, because you turned off JAWS.
Right, yeah. So you'd have a list of things in there.
It can go up to 50. Was it going to, did I hear 10 or 50?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Like if somebody has asked you, hey, because that also is text that in a virtual viewer or whatever that you can copy. If somebody has asked you, what's your version number? You can do that run dialog box, you know, WinVer and all that stuff.
Then you
go back to JAWS and ask for the history, copy and paste that information and email it to your technician or whatever. Because I find that in that run dialog box, when I get the WinVer, I can't use that text. I can't access it. I can't get to it. So the JAWS history is how you can get at it.
That's how people do it. Okay.
So I have a question. You know, sometimes you'll get it'll ask you yes or no, but if you didn't catch the question and you tab back and forth, it says yes or no, and you don't know what you're saying yes and no to, will it work
that's one of the key commands that I'm going to introduce as well, is how to read that little pop-up.
Good.
If JAWS has read it, then it should show up in that buffer.
But the problem with some of these things is it just says yes, and JAWS doesn't actually read the dialog box. Right. So that's JAWS history. Really key. Okay. If you want to get at something that JAWS has spoken, but you can't copy that text, if you can't access the text.
I have one more question. What if you hit the control key or something, and so it didn't finish saying what it's saying, and now you want to go back and hear it, will it have it all there?
JAWS history will only be the history of what it said.
I believe so.
What it intended to say before you set it up.
Right.
Because when you hit the control key, you don't stop from the speech. You're emptying the buffer. Insert spacebar. You hear the click, and then you type the letter H for history. Okay. So the next one, if we're done with that history, JAWS history. I mean, play with it. You know what I mean? And just go play anything at all with you want to save. I mean, you know, think about this on Facebook. Well, no, Facebook, it's easy to copy and paste text out of Facebook, so you don't have to use this stuff.
Yeah, but you'll find sometimes, too, that, you know, I find anyway, if I'm trying to copy text from a website, sometimes it doesn't copy the text I selected. And when I paste it into an email, it's like, well, I didn't copy that. I copied the line above that.
Right.
And so that speech history can come in handy.
So the next one he's got on the list here is insert E. E for echo.
Insert E? I've never heard that one before.
Oh, Windows E. Is it Windows E?
I think it's Windows E.
Windows E.
Like, what's insert E?
I misheard JAWS.
Speech history.
It's File Explorer.
Yeah. It is File Explorer. Yeah. Yeah.
So that one I use all the time.
So you find that one? Windows key in the letter E for Windows Explorer or File Explorer. The reason for that is because in Windows 10, you don't have typically a documents folder on your desktop like you did in Windows 7 or a downloads folder or access to other folders. So Windows E puts you into File Explorer or Windows Explorer, and then you can either hit first letter to navigate to what you want.
D, desktop.
I can hit D.
D, documents. D, downloads.
That's where they are in Windows 10 by default. They're not on your desktop.
And if you're putting an SD card into a drive, you can find your drive.
Exactly. They all show up in here, so I can go down.
Devices, drives expanded.
There's my devices and drives. There's my C.
Network locations expanded. Network with the Rogue Alliance laptop users.
Isn't that funny? You know, I've never ever used that key command. I always go to this PC. So I hit the Windows key, start typing the word this. And that's where I find all this stuff is in this PC. Well, why not just Windows E?
And if you want to verify that you're on your desktop,
title is desktop one.
Insert key for title.
Okay, well, do you have a couple more? Or do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let me just take a quick peek here. Insert F11.
Jaws command.
Yeah, yeah. It'll bring up a list of key, list of items running in your system tray, like your network, like your Wi-Fi, your volume.
Windows doesn't call system tray.
Windows P?
I'm not sure how to really define it because when you go to your desktop, you've got the desktop, you've got the taskbar, you've got the system tray down in the right-hand corner. So you've got three or four different areas that you can navigate. So you could do, like Louise said, the Windows B and go across that way.
One of the things that I recommend to any blind person who's thinking about buying a computer, that applications key is so damn important to us. The screen reader users, I tell people, just go play with a keyboard in a store before you buy and make sure your computer has an applications key. It's just that important to screen reader users. Yeah.
So that's my list of the frequently used keyboard commands that I use on a regular basis.
Okay, let's take a coffee break because I'm dying. I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet today.
Oh, right.
So the first one, the most important, I mean, there's a few of these other sort of funky ones like insert T, which reads your title bar. You know, critically important. If you're not sure where you are, just always do an insert T and it'll tell you, give it a quick shot. That
title is Zoom meeting ID 506-400.
So, yeah. What is insert tab?
Yeah. It kind of sort of tells you where you are too.
Insert tab.
Edit type of text.
That's it.
So, because I'm in Notepad right now, all insert tab says is edit, type in text.
Okay, then that's for
here. Yeah, I'm in an edit field.
Yep. So the way that that Kathy Ann Murtha explains it in her textbooks is if you put a ruler across the top of your screen, that's your title bar. That's what tells you what program is running, what file you've got open in that program, and so on. And so insert T. Always, I'll bet you that I'll wear out the letter T on the keyboard because I'm hitting that so often during the day. Before I move on, you know, I want to know where I am. So insert T. And then the other one is that Windows T for the taskbar. I've come to use that a lot for launching programs. So what I have pinned on mine, the microphone's not going to pick it up very well, but I'm just going to do an insert T. And then it'll tell me, you know, what's in the number one position on the taskbar.
Oh, you mean a Windows?
Windows T is what I meant. So system information is the first item I have on the taskbar. I don't use it very often because I don't like crossing my hands over to hold down the Windows key to type the number one on the number row. So, but anyway, but this is the order that things sit on the taskbar. So you always land in the number one position when you do Windows T. So system information is number one on mine. I'm going to right arrow. So Firefox, and it says I've got one running window right now. So if I was to use Windows plus the number two on the number row, I would launch Firefox. Going to the number three, so right arrow. Google Chrome. So if I did Windows plus the number three, it would launch Google Chrome. This PC, this PC is in the number four position for me, and that's what I use instead of Windows E that Ryan showed you earlier. So that gets me to all of my my folders and all of my drives, like the C drive or any removable drives that I plugged in.
So can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
With those items pinned to your taskbar, are they there just for the current session you're in, or are they loading every time your computer powers up?
I have pinned them there, so they live there.
So that's probably then might slow your computer down when you're first starting up, because those programs have to all load as well.
No, they don't load.
No, they don't load.
They don't load.
They just launch from there.
No, oh, okay.
They're just sitting there.
Okay.
But if you haven't pinned them there, I'm doing this right now.
You're not going to see that.
No.
The only thing it's going to show you is what you currently have running.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll show you what's running right now on your computer. You can unpin them by just going to them, hit your applications key, down arrow to unpin from taskbar, and then it'll be off of them.
Oh, is that how you pin applications?
Yeah. Yeah. You will, when you pin things to the taskbar, they will show up. Like if you've got four things pinned to the taskbar, the next time you pin something, it goes into the number 5 slot. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted that new thing in the number 4 slot, you have to remove the fourth item, pin the new item, and then carry on. So let me just carry on through this taskbar, because now I'm getting to the bits that I actually do use constantly. Okay, so Open Book is in the, I don't know, number 5 spot or something. Dropbox is in the number 6 position. Now, Outlook, these are the three that I use many, many times a day, every day. So, because the number 7, I don't have to cross my hands. I can just drop my right hand down here to the Windows key and reach up and type the number 7. And that launches Outlook. Windows plus number 8 launches Excel. And number 9 launches Microsoft Word. So, and then start Zoom. And the number 10, if I did Windows 0, I would start the Zoom application. Okay, so that's what I've got pinned. So let me just show you one of the tricks about the taskbar. So Microsoft Word, if I wanted to pull up Microsoft Word and have a look. Okay, so can you affect the
menu system? Leave menu, speakers tab.
That's a bit loud. Does the speaker have a...
You betcha. Yeah.
Okay, so on the taskbar, Microsoft Word is where I use this the most, you guys, but if you want to pull up Microsoft Word and the last few files that you've worked on, I'm going to hold down the Windows key and the Alt key, and I'll type the number 9.
Alt Windows 9, running applications, toolbar, items, list box, infinite available, Apple, MS, Google, MS, Amazon, disability, help, contacts, 1-1.
So this is a document that I've actually pinned to this task list because I often want to share the toll-free numbers for the disability help desk at Apple, Microsoft, and Google, and the rest of it. So I have it pinned here. I can get at that file just by doing Alt Windows 9 and press Enter, and I've opened up that particular file. I down arrow now through this list.
Recent available favorite keyboard commands.
Now this is recent, so the file I have open right now is sitting here at the top of the list, and then down below that.
GTC New Westminster meeting agenda essentials.
So one of the files I had open last night was the GTT invitation for this meeting.
Government of Canada Accessibility Survey 2019.
And an accessibility survey document that I created. So it gives me that jump list of all the files I've worked with over the, most recently.
Yeah.
So anyway, anything you do with any of these taskbar items, if you add the Alt key to the Windows key, you're going to get a list of what you, I'm just going to try it with
Alt
number 7.
Item list box, tasks unavailable, new email message, 1-5, new appointment, new meeting.
So this is now Outlook. So here it gives me a list,
new appointment, new email message,
new appointment,
new meeting.
So it gives me a bit of a jump list of things that I can do without having to actually launch the program. Anyway, so the taskbar is a really, really powerful tool for efficiency. If you want to learn how to use it. It takes a little while to set it up, but once it's set up, you're good to go. I'm just doing a search. So what program could I search for? WavePad. Okay, WavePad Sound Editor. So now I brought it up on the search, on the Cortana search. So I'm going to hit the applications key.
Applications, context menu, list box expanded. Context menu, run as administrator. Context menu, open file location. Context menu. Context menu, pin to start.
There it is, pin to start.
Context menu, pin to taskbar.
There it is, pin to taskbar. So now it would get, I can't pin it. I can't pin it because I got no more spaces. But that's all you have to do is find the program using the Windows search, and then hit your applications menu key and down arrow until you find pin to start, hit enter, and it pins it into whatever is the last available spot.
If you pin to start.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, pin the taskbar.
But if you pin to start, would that make it automatically launch then?
It just means that all you have to do then is hit your Windows key and then I think your down arrow to the start menu to find it.
Yeah.
I prefer the taskbar because of, it's just the way I like it.
Put a shortcut on your desktop.
Anyway, so that's the taskbar. And then, anything, I think if you did your web browser, I think if I did Windows, Alt, and then 3 for Firefox.
Alt, Windows, 3, items, list, box, most visited, available, inbox, new, 2019, gmail.com, gmail, 1 to 5.
So now it's going to give me a list of the last few web pages I've visited.
Google account. Invoices, account, and software for small businesses, networks,
Anyway, so it pulls up a list of the last sort of web pages and stuff.
That's actually convenient because history is also a thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the taskbar. Let's see where I'm at. Font attributes and JAWS. Like when you're editing your document, do you ever do that insert F?
Listen again.
Did you all hear what JAWS said when Albert did insert F? It is 11 point, the type of font, blah, blah, blah. Now, what keyboard command could you use to go back and have that read back to you?
Ooh, let me look at my notes.
I got
it. Insert space 8.
Yeah, so you could do insert F again, and JAWS will repeat that. But that insert 8, spacebar 8, will let you review it word by word, character by character. You can copy and paste that. It's just a great command.
Okay.
But, if you're not sure whether, let's say, for example, I wanted to center this thing.
Center.
So now if I want to just double check if it's centered.
11 points, black on white, delivery, normal style, white space, and single, paragraph, formatted, center, outline, level, offset.
So centered is now there.
If I bolded it,
if I underlined it, it'll tell me all of those things. Okay. Insert plus the letter F.
Okay.
F for font. So again, that's one of those keys. I'm using that all day.
And it reads font in almost anything that JAWS is looking at the moment. So even on a web page.
But be careful though, right? If you're sitting on the first character of the first word in a line of text, that's all you're checking. Okay? So if somebody has changed the font on, let's say you're cutting and pasting information from a couple of different places, later on down the line, it might be a different font because it's text you pulled from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's only giving you a snapshot of where your cursor is currently sitting. The bold and, the centered, of course, that involves the entire line. Bold, again, it might only be the first word that's bolded, not the rest.
Yeah.
So it's not perfect, but it does give you...
Do you have to select, if you select, what does it do if you select a paragraph and some of it's bolded, does it even give you that?
No, I don't think it can. It's not that sophisticated. What I tend to do is I just check this.
11 points.
Okay, so it's only 11 point. I prefer to put everything in 14 point if I remember. So that's just told me what this particular document is. So now I'll select the whole thing, go into the font dialog box, and I'll change it to 14 Arial, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So this is just a hint that I get.
Insert B means the pop-up window.
So insert B, I think that's the one where you get that yes, no question.
The dialog box.
That's the dialog box.
Yeah. Yeah, so that little insert B, isn't that the little pop-ups?
To read the whole dialog box.
Like if you're in, let's say, a Word document and you hit Alt F4 to close it, a dialog box is going to pop up and say, do you want to save this, yes or no? And you do insert B, that will read that dialog box to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also, when you get these OK buttons pop up, it'll also read those little dialog boxes.
Yeah.
So that's where, whenever that yes, no thing pops up for me, Sean, I do insert B, listen, because then it'll say yes, no, and then it'll tell you what the question is.
Oh, okay. Also, it does it backwards. Okay.
Yeah.
It should read it. There are sometimes dialog boxes. All you'll hear is yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah. There is the odd one that it doesn't work for, but by and large, if I missed it, this is how I get it back.
So you can do insert Alt W, and it basically takes a snapshot of the screen for you to review it with your up and down arrow keys.
Well, okay, so let's carry on to the next one. Because I'm such a screw up, I have to undo a lot of stupid mistakes. Yeah. So, insert Z, is it? Control Z. So Control Z will undo your last action. So this even works in email. When I've hit the delete key on a message, I think, oh, geez, no, I didn't want to do that. Right. Control Z will put it right back into your inbox. And so it's the same thing, you know, if you're typing away or, you know, you select some text and you meant to copy it, but you accidentally hit X and you cut it. Again, Control Z undoes the last action. So if you're working in a Microsoft Word document and you're doing a bunch of editing, and all of a sudden you think, oh God, I didn't want to do that. So Control Z undoes it, and then Control Z again undoes the action previous to that. So if you typed a six letter word and you do Control Z six times, you will untype that word. But it will only go backwards though to the last time you saved the file. Okay, so if you've saved the file and then you get back to work, Control Z will only go back to that spot.
What if you accidentally do it? Like if you're in File Explorer, you can use Dropbox. Would you do Control Z?
I haven't tried it in Dropbox. I haven't sort of played with it to that extent. But Control Z, though, is just a lovely thing for just those little, you know, sometimes I'm messing around with a file and I've selected the whole thing because I copied it somewhere and then I come back and accidentally I hit the letter T. And boom, I've just wiped out the whole document because it was all selected. And I've replaced it with a letter key, T. Yeah. So Control Z just puts it right back.
Even a single backspace, you get rid of
it. Yeah, exactly. So for many of those little screw-ups, Control Z is a really, really, really vital key. Its companion is Control Y for redo. I have never yet found a reason to use redo. Okay. Yeah, but undo, Control Z, absolutely critical.
Control X, CFE, cut, copy, paste.
And of course, everybody knows the copy, cut, paste commands.
I have a new one for paste that's very interesting.
What?
It's one that I learned by mistake one day. I was in my documents folder. I copy and clip one to the clipboard to go to email. I alt-tab into my inbox and I hit Control V right away, not thinking I had to open a new message. Well, Control V will take and put you in the edit field. You type the person's name in. You go over to the subject line. The name of the document's there with even DOX behind it. So I'll just go and type over DOX period. Maybe add another word or two or change the document name if I want to. Tap, attachment's there. I go into the message, send the message, type in the message and send it. I'm not then starting and having to paste it in after I start. I don't have to type a subject line in if I don't want to.
So you did, the shortcut is you don't have to do the Control N for a new message. You just hit paste.
Yeah.
And it does all of that for you.
It does it all for you. But as I say, I've never changed the subject line name, but I'll take and go and when I'm in the subject line, backspace over DOX sure. period or the, you know, notepad part or whatever.
Sure. No, but the key is that it puts the document name into the subject
line. So subject line and the attachment's already there.
Anyway, so lots of really cool ways to do all of these things. And, you know, this is how we learn those little shortcuts. I've never done that before. I always create the message, put in the person's name and the subject line, and then paste.
I've done that, which you've got to do more than one document, but at least if I'm only sending one document, that's the fast way of doing it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, but how
let me just walk you through this here.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm in the documents folder. Okay, this Government of Canada Accessibility Survey. So I'm pointing at the file that is not open. I'm going to hit Control C to copy it to the clipboard. Yeah, that copies the file to the clipboard, right? Not the text. So now I'm going to go to Outlook, and I'm going to open up Outlook, but I'm not going to open a new message. I'm just waiting here for Outlook to... Okay. So now I'm just sitting in the list of all my messages. I'm just going to hit Control V to paste.
Government of Canada Accessibility Survey 2019 JUMP 25.docs message HTML to edit inbox.
To edit, so now I'm in the to line.
Yeah.
PCC edit. Cool. Subject edit. Government of Canada accessibility survey.
And there's the subject line. It took the file name, including, as Louise has indicated, including the DOX at the back. And there, now I've tapped from the subject line. Now I'm on the attachment. I tap again. Now I'm in the body of the message. Okay, so that's what that's the shortcut that Louise has just outlined for. Okay, so Control B, U, and I are the are what underlines, bolds, and
italicize.
So those I use, you know, Control B quite a bit, but that's B and underline, but italicize I don't think I've ever done.
Okay, Control B.
So you, but you have to select the text.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just do it like you can't just do it at the beginning of a line.
Actually, you can center something before you start typing.
That's right. So I mean,
you can turn it off and turn it on.
What they're saying is if you're starting to type something, if I do Control B, so bold is now on, so everything I type now. And then if I hit enter, now bold is off, I betcha. Now I've just turned it off. Anyway, so if I undo, no, that's not going to work.
Everything I type.
How about I just copy that?
Control B, new and I bold, underline and italic.
Nope, I don't do that.
Control B, new and I bold.
Okay, so
Windows B, system 3.
Windows B, we've already gone over. That's the same as the insert F11.
Click.
Okay, so that's primarily the keys that I use. The only other thing I wanted to kind of show you is the... Okay, so Ryan's frequently used key commands, setting headers so that, you know, when you're creating a document and you want a few headers here and there to help us, those of us who use our screen readers to be able to make our way through the document, to set a level one heading. Right now, I'm sitting there on the heading that is, you know, Ryan's favorite keyboard commands. I'm going to hold down the Alt and the Control key and type the number 1.
Alt, Control 1.
And I'm going to down arrow away.
Alt, Control 1.
Hang on. And then I'm going to up arrow back to it.
Heading level 1, Ryan's people use Windows keyboard commands.
That is now a level 1 heading. Okay. And so I just did that. My cursor was just sitting there at the beginning of this text. And so that whole... that line is now a level 1 heading.
So if Alt Control 2.
Alt Control 2.
Now it's a level 2 heading. And let's listen to the font.
13.
So 13. Now I'm going to do the level 1 heading again.
Alt Control 2.
Oops, sorry.
Alt Control 1. Insert the heading level 1 Ryan's frequently
used. Now let's listen to the font again.
16 points, steel blue or on white, delivery white, heading 1.
So it changed it to steel blue on white, and it's 16 point. And so if you do a level 3, I'm going to do Alt Control 3.
Alt Control 3. Insert heading level 3 Ryan's frequently used with 12 points, dark slate gray on white, delivery white, heading
1. Dark slate gray on white, and it's 13 point. So then these are styles that are set in your computer. You can go in and change the styles. I just have never bothered. So I make sure my entire document is 14-point font so that it's all, you know, everything's the same. And then I go through and the bits and pieces that I want to have as headings, I just go through and label those as headings. So Alt-Control 1 through 6, I think, is all that you can do with the Alt-Control key.
Yes.
And then...
okay, since you're doing... I'm going to say, okay, so if you want to have every document you type in 16 font, is there a way to save that in Microsoft Word?
Yeah, you can change your default.
Okay, you can change your default. Okay. All right, T.
Can you explain the different, like, I don't know what level 1 and level 2 headings, like, what's the difference? Is it just the way it looks?
It's the way it looks, but it's also a hierarchy. Sadly, too many of our web developers use the headings for pretty.
Yeah.
But they're intended to be functional. So a level, just like in the chapters in your textbooks in school.
Yeah.
You had all these different levels in the table of contents. So you've got a level 1 heading would be chapter 1, And then subservient to that would be the sections in that chapter, which would be level 2 heading. Okay. And then if you had other sections within those subsections, they would be level 3 heading.
So when you're trying to navigate with JAWS and you use H, it just takes you to any level of heading, though, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't really matter.
Bowen, I want you to believe that it does matter.
Because you can do H for headings, and then you can also hit the number 1, and it'll take you to the number 1, level 1 heading. You can hit H, and 2, it'll take you to the level 2 headings. So there are multiple ways to navigate using headings.
Think of a daisy when you're reading it, and it has heading levels. It's the same idea, only it's with a dot. Same concept.
Search button menu.
Okay, so I'm on the SELA library. So let's go to a level 1 heading. So yeah, you can hit H, Sean. Let's make sure I'm at the top. So I'm at the very top. I can hit H.
Feature titles heading level 2 applicable. Where the crawdads sing heading level 3 link.
The coming heading level 3. Oh, by the way,
where the crawdads sing heading level
3. Where the crawdads sing?
Yeah.
Really cool book.
I'm reading Becoming.
Oh, are you?
Next one you just came to.
Yeah. So we can hit H and go all the way through this page, but if you hit number 1.
No more heading to level 1.
Oh, see, these guys don't even have a level 1 heading on their page.
Feature titles heading level 2 applicable.
So I hit the number 2 and it took me right to the first level 2 heading. And then let's see if there's any level 3s beneath it.
Where the comics in heading level 3 link.
There's a heading level 3.
Becoming heading level 3 link.
Becoming.
The family gathering heading level 3
link. So I'm just hitting the number 3 and moving from level 3 heading to level 3 heading.
So you only have to hit H once and then you can
start. No, you don't have to hit H at all. H,
just type the number.
H is like tabbing through the page. It takes you to every single heading. Tabbing takes you to every single control, but if it's a link you want, it's... Okay, so...
And with the headings, is it one is more important or no?
That's right. That's how they are meant to be used. Is that a level 1 hit? Like, if I click on about, you know, I'm looking at somebody's website, I click on their About Us link, that opens up their About Us page, but it puts you at the top, and there's a whole bunch of other menus and stuff and crap and things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to get to where we're going to talk about us. And that's, if they've done it properly, that will be a level 1 heading. Yeah. So as soon as I get to the web page, I hit the number 1, boom, takes me right to the heading that says About Us, and now I start reading with my down arrow. It gets me past all that other stuff up at the top.
So you are right, Sean. H will take you through heading by heading by heading, disregarding if it's a level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? If
you just give them to you in the order they show up.
Yeah. Right.
So it depends what you're looking for.
Right.
You can get an idea of how important it is. You can tell the level 2.
You know, and it's like the SELA. When you do a search for something, your search results area, I don't think these guys use a level 1 heading, so I think their search results will be a level 2 heading, and then every book will be a level 3. I'm just going to do a quick search.
Patterson, comma, space.
Name's Patterson, so I'll just do a quick search on SELA. And I will, because I want to see what the... Okay, so that's the SELA website. I'm just going to hit the number 1 and see what the results
are. Title results, heading level 1.
There you go. Heading level 1, title search results. Took me right to the top of it. So there's lots of junk above here that I didn't have to read through.
Next.
So now I'll just go down through this.
Page links on the filters. Next. Showing 120 of 490 items.
Yeah. Only 490 items.
Next. Heading level 2 with James Patterson.
Okay, then there's...
Heading level 2 with James Patterson.
That's right.
Heading level 2 with James Patterson.
Yes, the middle of the search.
Heading level 2 with James Patterson. Heading level 2 with James Patterson.
How do you just want to say search for just James Patterson?
And SELA has told us that you no longer, at the beginning when they first launched this new website, you had to do Patterson, comma, James. You don't have to anymore. You could put James Patterson in quotes. You could,
But you have to do it in quotes, otherwise it will bring up everything.
Everything with James and everything with Patterson. Those are called search operators, and there's a whole textbook on that.
When you say quotes, what do they mean? I don't even know what quotes mean.
No, the quotation marks. When you type two words in a search string, it'll search for when those two words walk together, when James is, you know, and when Patterson is, so you'll get James Jones and Frank Patterson. But when you put it in quotes, you are telling the search engine, only find me results where both of these walk together in this order.
I'm trying to see what the quote, see, is there another word for quotes?
Quotation marks.
Okay, okay.
Like when you're typing
something. Shift the posture.
Okay, see, I guess I'm not thinking what that key is. Okay, so you would put the quotes at the beginning and the quotes at the end.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Quote, James, space, Patterson, quote. And so let's just.
Yeah, Josh calls it quote.
Yeah.
Marketed James Patterson, edit level 2 link. Texas Ranger, edit level 2 link. The people, yes, Alex Cross, number 23, edit level 2 link. The Midnight Club, edit level 2 link.
So now I'm just hitting, you see my results here? Now on the main front page of the CLA site, you saw some books listed there, some suggested books, suggested reading for you, they say. Those were all in level 3s. But in my results, all the results here are level 2.
The more are missing, edit level 2 link.
The more are missing.
The family lawyer, edit level 2 link.
Okay, so you keep hitting number 2 until you find the book you want, and then you down arrow.
Plan, by James Patterson, 2017. Plan, electronic real contracted, lazy text, direct
number. Oh, and here's the other thing about CELA. Let's hit a check. I'm going to hit the letter X to get to a check box.
Bookshare, check box, not checked.
Checkbox not checked.
Sell a checkbox not checked.
And so I didn't have anything checked, so I wonder why I got all those results, but I'm going to now check.
Space.
I'm going to check to just.
Sell a checkbox not checked. Main region end. Edit button.
Now here. Okay, so as soon as I hit the checkbox on CELA, it redid my search.
Oh.
So again, those searches, there just is nothing more important than the letter H, and just. The first time through a web page, the first thing I always do is hit the number 1 a couple of times, see what they've got for level 1 headings, have a look at them. Okay, and then I go back and do lots of control hold. Always take yourself back to the top of the page so that you know where you are when you start, and then hit the number 2 and see what they've done with level 2 heading. So it just gives me that hint of how this webmaster has decided to display the information. Sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it just tells me, oh, this is going to be an ugly page to work with. But you learn something either way, whether you like it or not. And so, but honest to goodness, you know, the days of tabbing through everything through a page or arrowing through the whole thing is just, it's nuts. So, and then just a couple of other, so, whoops. All right, so I've introduced a couple. So X, and it's doing nothing
now. New tab control plus T, new window control plus N, X, leaving menus, taskbar. Escape.
Am I still on the web page?
No.
Type here to search button.
Type here to search.
Favorite keyboard from NXT, DC, New West, Contox, Word, Edit. Inbox, DC, Net, Documents. Realtek HD, Auto, Net, Google, Mozilla, Firefox, Jaws, Professional.
Oh, Firefox. Documents.
Realtek HD, Google, Mozilla, Firefox.
Okay, Firefox is my preferred anyway, so I'm just going to do that again. CELA library.
.ca. Enter, Google, Mozilla, Firefox. Accessibility preferences, button menu to latch, no edits. Feature, where the comments embedded level 3 link.
Okay, so I'm back on the main front page. So the letter X, is it there?
No checkboxes.
No checkboxes. The letter C, you know, sometimes you get these drop-down boxes on a web page and you have to select one item out of that drop box. So that's the letter C.
Accessibility preferences, button menu to latch.
So there's button menu collapsed, accessibility preferences. So now if I hit the enter key, I think it'll expand that.
Enter accessibility preferences, button menu expanded.
Now it's expanded. So now a list is dropped down below
here.
All right, so C will always take you to a combo box, and X will always take you to a checkbox if it's on the page. The letter E
search by title, author, or keyword edit.
Will always take you to an edit field. So now I'm at the search edit field on a web page.
Okay, can I ask you one question? Because with Zella, you've been playing around with it. So every time you go on, as soon as you get a search done, you have to take and do the X to make sure you only get CELA. If you only want to CELA, or...
Yeah, so let's look for something. Moore, Rama, Michael.
Moore? M-O-R?
So M-O-M-O-O. And I've gotten out of forms mode.
No checkboxes.
No checkboxes. So I apparently... I have to do the search first.
That
seems awfully silly.
I know.
It's the other way around.
It should be the other way around.
Like the old site was.
So now I've done the search, so I'm going to hit the X.
main region, complementary region, filter results, Bookshare checkbox not checked.
So Bookshare,
Scylla checkbox not checked.
Scylla,
space not checked.
So,
Scylla checkbox checked.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so
title search results.
So what other, the other link that I use, or the other hotkey that I use a lot, is the letter V for visited links.
Yes.
So
visited link traffic, Scylla's library, .com's library, .com's library, .com's library, .com's visited link login.
So there's the login. So visited links, when you've been to a page a couple of times and you know you want to come back and follow the same trail, V for visited links is a critical.
Oh, so you can find my account with you.
Yeah. The other one is the letter F, which takes you to all the form fields. So F, if you're on a page and you know you want to find the first form field that. So I do control home, go to the top, and hit the letter F.
Accessibility references, button menu the last.
So there it takes you to the first form field, hit F again. There's the search edit field. So F will take you through every form field, not just the edit fields and not just the buttons.
Does that work with all websites?
All websites. All this works with NVDA or JAWS. So it's a screen reader. The other one that's fairly important is radio buttons. So radio buttons, is that A or R?
R.
R, nope.
Accessibility, full bar, navigation, region.
No, see, it's regions. It's regions. Yeah, R is now for regions. If you have an older version of JAWS, R was for radio buttons. The new ones, it's A.
No radio buttons.
And it tells me there are no radio buttons. A for radio buttons, because R is already used, so it goes to the second letter. The other really, really critical one is B for buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever found that when you're on listening to a YouTube video and you just want to pause the stupid thing and you can't find it because it's making too much noise? So keep hitting the letter B, and you know you have to listen through all the noise, but B will take you through every button on the page.
Accessibility references, button menu collapse.
There's a button.
Search button.
Search button.
Show full summary button collapse.
Full summary button.
Edit button.
Edit button. So B for buttons. You'll get through mute and something else, and then finally you'll get to pause, and then you can hit your space bar to pause that YouTube video. So B for buttons, V for visited links, E for edit fields. Like,
awesome.
These things are just essential. You need to learn how to use these if you want to gain some efficiency on these web pages.
Thank you for listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind. There are many ways to get in touch with us. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-304-0968. You can follow our GTT blog at gttprogram.blog. If you'd like to subscribe to our email support list, you can send a blank email to gttsupport+subscribe@groups.io. And you can follow the Canadian Council of the Blind on the web at CCB National.